Well, I want to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect and precious word to Hebrews chapter 13. We're beginning a study through Hebrews chapter 13 called Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And this morning we're looking at Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same. Just one verse this morning, because this verse is the heart of this section that picks up the theology of the rest of the book. Hebrews 13 are a lot of exhortations about how we are to live in light of the fact that Christ is above all. And so there is this assertion that Christ is above all in a very unique and specific way in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, which we're going to look at together this morning. I invite you to stand in reverence for the reading of the perfect words of our sovereign God. We'll simply read that one verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Oh Lord, there is a sense in which that brief assertion says all that needs to be said. Help us to see it today. Help us to embrace it today. Help this to be a vision that drives us in this new year. Lord, in our changing lives, may we by faith be tethered to and anchored by the unchanging Christ. Lord, help us as we study today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A little while ago, I was challenging you about our five-day-a-week Bible reading program, where we're trying to get to read the Bible through in a year. More than that, we're just trying to get our lives to be consistently a part of reading the Word in 2020. But you know, over the years, I've had people with challenges like this come up to me and say, you know, I don't know how an ancient book that's dealing with ancient people and ancient problems can help me in my life today. As I look at my life and see the things today, and I read my Bible, those worlds are so far apart, I just don't get it. Other people have said, you know, I have been reading my Bible. I've been doing what you've said, but to be really honest with you, I haven't been encouraged. I've been discouraged. As I read the Bible, some of it is certainly interesting, but I don't know what God doing something with people in an ancient past can do to help me today with my problems. The world looks so different. For many, the Bible seems a distant book. It seems remote. But that is an illusion. You see, the problem is with the focus. The focus is wrong. The point of contact is wrong. Our point of contact is not looking in at the lives of the people who are pictured in the Bible and wondering how much their life approximates ours. No, that's not it. Now understand me, the sins at the core are the same. Pride is still pride. Whether it's in an ancient Near Eastern context wearing a robe and sandals, or whether it's in our context wearing a suit and tie, pride is the same. Coveting's the same. Our struggle with sin at its root is the same. But we must be honest. It looks very different. You see, one thing we can be sure about and certain about is the lives of men and women and cultures and civilizations will change. And that change is often drastic, it is often chaotic, and it is often destabilizing. It often is change for the worse, and we all experience it. But when we come to our Bible, what we have to see is that our primary point of contact is not that are their lives exactly like our lives. It's not that at all. Our primary point of contact is the living God. The God who interacted with those people is the God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that is the God who interacts with us. That God is the same. That God has never changed. So when we look in our Bible, we're looking for what it tells us about God. And particularly what it tells us about God in Christ by the power of the Spirit. Because Christ is how we are united by faith to God. You see, when that's your point of contact, it changes the way you look as you look in your Bible. God's own self-declaration we find in Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. There's not one thing about the character of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, that has changed from the time God spoke to Abraham to the time that God speaks to us today through His Word. Nothing. In our text today, it reminds us that God's Son, the incarnate Christ, the one who came in flesh, God's own Son, it says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, this is the glorious stabilizing truth. This is the anchor that we cling on to in the midst of a changing and chaotic culture. This is the one that we look to for stability. That was true for Moses and Abraham and David and Matthew and Luke and Paul, and it's true for us. To say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever should bring a sense of overwhelming contentment for those who are in Christ. Let's look first at that first part of that assertion. Jesus Christ is the same. Now let's think about the first couple of words there. You know, the personal name is Jesus. The title is Christ. Christ is not His last name, though it's easy to make that mistake. Jesus, the personal name of God's Son. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua. The name Joshua means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. Jesus is the one who comes, and in Him the Lord is saving. His name points to His mission. But His title in that mission is the second part of that. We could say Jesus, the Christ, which would help us understand how Christ functions as a title. Christ means anointed one, and it has a sense of kingly authority, royal authority. Christ is God's Messiah. It is a title for God's Messiah, God's Savior. It is the anointed royal Son that points to the fact that He is King, and not just King, but King of Kings. Elsewhere we find out He is the living Word. The prophets bring the Word of God. Jesus is the ultimate prophet. His name means the Lord saves. Jesus comes as the final high priest who offers a sacrifice of Himself. So Jesus comes to us as prophet, priest, and king. What Jesus does is take all of the lines of all of the story of the narrative of the Old Testament, and He shows us they all lead to Him. Just think about how the book of Hebrews works, if you're familiar with it. And if you're not, let me get you up to speed a little bit. The book of Hebrews is written to struggling Jewish Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. And he basically goes through this plan. It's a sermon. It's a preaching. And he goes through this plan to say Jesus is above everything you've ever known. In other words, Jesus is the fulfillment of all that you've looked to. Jesus is above the angels. Jesus is above Moses. Jesus is above the sacrificial system. Jesus is above the priest. Jesus is above the temple. Jesus is above it all. Christ above all. Look to Him, the final prophet, the final king, the final priest, the ultimate and final. In the Old Testament and New Testament, Christ is the same. Hebrews has been telling us again and again. Where does the lines of the Old Testament lead? They all lead to Christ. Remember, struggling Jewish believers, look to Jesus. He is the one who completes the story of the Bible. All of the Bible has been telling us about Jesus, who is the Christ. He is the one who is the same. He is the one who Hebrews 11 says should be the object of our faith. He is the one that Hebrews 12, 2 says, look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, these struggling believers are going through an incredible amount of change, and it is not change for the good in their mind. They were leading their lives, and now they profess faith in Christ, and now they're identifying with the church of Jesus Christ. And what happens? Family members are turning their back on them. Some are being beaten. Some are losing their jobs. It's all kinds of persecution. So the change has come. And what many of them are starting to do is, maybe if I don't so publicly identify with Jesus and the church, I won't have to face these things. So the book of Hebrews puts it this way. Some are losing heart. Some are shrinking back. Losing heart and shrinking back. Those aren't concepts that are foreign to any of us. We all find ourselves in that struggle at that time. Well, what are they to do? Shouldn't they protect themselves so their kids have a more stable environment? What should they do in this sea of change that they're facing? What do they cling to for an anchor? Is the anchor moving away from Christ? The point of Hebrews is to say, no, 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 no. There is no stability apart from Christ. There needs to be some unchanging constant so that they could regain their footing and remember who they are. Or maybe we could put it better, whose they are. That's what we all need. That's what we always need. You know, there are all kinds of things that change us. Time and mood and circumstances and sin and provocations and changes of money. None of these things change Christ. Do you hear that? You may feel like there is no way in the midst of the chaos you're going through because of the diagnosis or because of the financial situation or because of what someone has done to you. There's no way to stabilize yourself, but there is. No circumstance changes Christ. No problem changes Christ. Jesus Christ is the same. The whole biblical story is telling us about one who is to come as a prophet for his people, as a king to rule a people whom he saves because he is the priest and the sacrifice. Nothing we go through changes him. In the immediate context in Hebrews here, the verse before verse 8 is, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Those who came before and told you about Christ, they are telling you of the same Christ. Listen to them, Nothing has changed. The Christ of today is the one whom you responded to when they spoke to you. And then in verse 9 it says, beware of false teachers and don't be led away. How do you know a false teacher? Is that teacher focused on Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever? To the degree that they deviate a focus on Christ, their message is not true. You see, false teachers come up with all kinds of messages and all kinds of teaching that have never-ending configurations. False teaching comes in a billion forms. But there is one gospel, one faith, once for all delivered to the saints. Not one person here needs a new teaching. What we need is the Christ that the Bible is about. And any other way that we give our lives over to anything else is a way that may seem right to a man, but his end is destruction. You see, we are to cling to the constancy of Christ. Your spouse may not be constant, but Christ is. Your job may not be constant, but Christ is. You may not be constant, but Christ is. See, the problems aren't just out there. The problems are often what we observe in the mirror. But the grace of Christ is for us. We need something that stabilizes us and reminds us of who we are. There's a Miranda Lambert song called The House That Built Me that I've always loved. It's about getting out in life and kind of forgetting who you are. It says this: I know they say you can't go home again. I just had to come back one last time. Do you want me to sing it? No, you don't. You leave home, you move on, you do the best you can. I got lost in this old world and forgot who I am. I thought if I could touch this place or feel it, this brokenness inside me might start healing. Out here, it's like I'm someone else. I thought that maybe I could find myself. If I could walk around, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. See, really, that song is saying that my life has been a whirlwind and I've forgotten who I am. So let me go back to that place that has not changed. Let me see if I can remember. I know that feeling. Played baseball in college, and sometimes it wasn't going so well. And sometimes the best thing I could do is just go home and have my mom cook that same fried chicken that she'd cooked 5,000 times. And it's just like, okay, I remember who I am. Baseball's something I do. It's not who I am. See, as you think about this, we all need that, but in a far more important way. And where we get it, so we come back and remember who we are. And often that's remembering we're not what we do, is we come to Christ. It all seems out of whack, and then we come to Christ. Oh, yeah. We remember who He is, what He's done for us, and what will never change. You see, for believers, it's not something that has not changed. It's someone, the eternal Son, who has set His love on a people. Jesus Christ is the same. By the way, this is actually picking up what the first chapter said. The first chapter quotes Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, which is probably the most eloquent description of depression and despair in the entire Psalter. And the answer that it gives is the constant Christ. Go to what does not change when everything about you is changing. It sounds like this. It's quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end. That's the answer, the constancy of God, the constant Christ, the one who does not change, the one who Hebrews 6:19 says is a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul. I wonder if that's where you're looking. It's easy to get distracted in this world. It's easy to convince ourselves what we really need is for God to do for us what we think needs to be done, rather than thinking what we need is God. We think oftentimes what we really need is to explain to Jesus how things should be going for us, when what we really need is Jesus. If your goal is to change Jesus' mind, if you could do such a thing, you would be sabotaging your own opportunity for joy and contentment. The reason you pray to Him, it's because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And you and I need His wisdom rather than Him needing ours. But I also want you to see this. Jesus Christ's story is always relevant, and in Christ so is ours. When we decided to focus on this and put this as a banner over the year, I was jotting some notes and I wrote, okay, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because that's what you sort of expect. It's so much better than that. It doesn't end when tomorrow, though it includes tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and forever. If we translated it in the most wooden way from the Greek, it would be Jesus Christ yesterday and today, the same and into the ages. Now, the focus here is not on Jesus' timelessness or His eternality. Those things are both important and true. No, what's being said here about Him not changing is rooted in redemptive history. It's rooted in the telling of the story of the Bible. That the focus is on the fact that in salvation history, in the history of redemption, God's grace, God's commitment to save sinners, God's unyielding commitment to be present with His people is always the same. It has never changed, and it is always what God is doing in Christ by the power of the Spirit. All of the storylines flow to Him. You want to understand how to rightly understand the Word of God? Ultimately, it flows to the living Word. You want to understand what it means to have a mediator like Moses? There's a greater than Moses who's come. You want to understand redemption? Then look to the one who is the final redeemer. You want to understand the temple? Then go to the one who the Bible says, tear down this temple, in 3 days it will be raised back up. You want to know what the altar means and the sacrificial system? Go to the one who lays Himself on the altar as the final sacrifice. You want to know what kingship for God's people means? You don't just look to David. You look to the one whom David looked to, Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You want to know what it means to have the right teacher? Then you look to the one who opened up the Word of God and said, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." You want to know what it means to have a Savior? Then you look to the one whose name is the Lord is salvation. All of the yesterday flows to Jesus. And I want to remind you that the Messiah of Abraham is the Messiah of Paul and is the Savior and Messiah of Pastor Nate Bevere and will be the Messiah of all who are saved. Don't get the big head. I just said Abraham, Paul, Nate. You are the weak link. You have shown God is a God of mighty grace. But it's true. And He is the Messiah of all who will be saved. What and who Jesus was then is what and who Jesus is now. When you see what God is doing to unfold Christ to us, teaching us about Christ, that is who Christ is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. These folks in the book of Hebrews who are being exhorted not to move back to the past, because if they move back to the past, they're repudiating the Christ of the past. The sacrificial system was about Jesus. The sacrifices were about Jesus. Moses was about Jesus. You see, Christ is the forever hope of all people of all time. And the message today is don't exchange that truth, that eternal truth, from yesterday today. And don't move towards some new teaching as if something has changed. The message of Christ you responded to is the Christ who reigns and the Christ who will reign forever. Do you see it? Stability and calm only and always come in Christ, the unchangeable Christ. And by the way, that's where freedom is. That's the only place that freedom is. You can't guarantee anything but Christ. You can't guarantee anything about any relationship you have other than the relationship you have with Christ. You can't guarantee anything about what you will have other than what you have in Christ. You can't guarantee anything about who you are except for your identity in Christ. And when you're there, there's freedom. Apart from that, you're always hoping in something that will change. And so you are never secure. If what you so desperately need is the applause of men, you will never, ever get it to your satisfaction. If what you so desperately need are lots of possessions, you will never, ever get them to your satisfaction. It's not the way it works. They are changeable. The money and bills that we have right now, one day will be worthless. Jesus never changes. This is liberation. This is freedom. I saw an example of somebody explaining this in a unique way that really struck me. And so in a moment, I'm going to show you a video. The video is a guy named Jonathan Evans, whose mom is Lois Evans, who's the wife of Tony Evans, the preacher at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. But Jonathan is speaking at his mom's funeral. And what he says here is all because of the verse that we're thinking about today. This is why what he says is true, so I'm going to share that with you this morning. I think. Maybe I'm not. I don't ever do anything like this. Come on. All right, they'll give me a thumbs up if at some point they get it. Here's what he does. He talks about the fact he struggled with peace, and he asked God for peace. And essentially, we got the thumbs up. He'll say it better than I do. You can find it on the internet.
Because just because I didn't answer your prayer your way doesn't mean that I haven't already answered your prayer.
You're glad they got it up, huh? But do you see, the only way that makes sense, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, in the today when his mom was alive, and in the today when his mom had passed. He gave her life, he gave her life, and forever. It's the constancy of Christ. It's the unchangeableness of Christ that makes it all true. The circumstances don't overshadow what is constant, what does not change. The circumstances are what change. The Bible does not give us abstract commands and theoretical philosophies. It bids us to follow Christ, the constant Christ, the one that does not change. Jesus is the ever-living leader, and Jesus is the never-leaving leader. He will always be with us, and it will be forever. Finally, I want you to see Jesus Christ's story through faith is our story to tell. We are to cling to Christ. We are to cling to this message. We are to trust in it. And we are to tell it. You ought to consistently tell yourself, Christ, I am yours, and you do not change. You feel like this can't get any better, and this is awful, and no good can come from this. Christ, I am yours, and you do not change. His story is called good news, the good news. And that good news is the ultimate foundational story, the relevant story at all times, in all places, for all peoples. It does not stop at any geopolitical boundaries. It does not stop in any centuries down through the ages. It is not trapped in any ethnic group or locale. It is the good news, the banner over all history of all peoples. And it is the story of all stories. And so the way we respond to that in Christ, that story is our story. When we read about Abraham, we are not reading about an ancient past of ancient people. We are reading about those in our family who came before us. And the whole Bible is that way. This is our story. We embrace it. We seek to understand it. Like a child who is adopted into a family, is placed in that family, he begins to see a new reality and a new family and people that he had never known that are now, he is a part of that family story. We are in God's story. And one of the things that we are to do is to share our salvation story. You can do it with yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, my life before Christ. Today, my life in Christ. Forever, my eternal hope and security in Christ. How easy is that to remember? How easy is that to keep on the forefront of your brain? Let me tell you about my yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you about my life before I met Christ. Let me tell you about my life in Christ. Let me tell you about what God has promised me forever. Share your salvation story. And this story only makes sense because even though I have changed, because Christ changed me, Jesus Christ was always at work saving a people yesterday. Today, I'm a part of that people, and they will be saved forever. Share your salvation story. It's as simple as that. Don't overcomplicate it. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what He has done in your life. But also another way I want to encourage you in this year, and that is to share your story of praise. You have all kinds of stories like this. This is that you were going along, you're in Christ, something happens and it seems like you'll never get back on your feet again, but you keep looking to Jesus. And He stabilizes you. And you do press on. You see, you tell people how my painful change was transformed by the unchanging Christ and His unchanging grace. That is mine, yesterday, today, and forever. And we must stop with the, feels kind of distant from God right now. But if only I would have lived back then. If only I would have been walking around at the time of Abraham. If only I would have been there with David. If only I could have walked with Jesus and had him there in my presence. Then that would be personal. That would be intimate. That would be real. But I don't have that. Do you think Jesus is a liar? Simple question. Jesus was talking about the fact that he's going to be resurrected and ascended. And he tells his followers, it is better that I go away. I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will indwell believers. And Jesus says, that's a better position than if you'd have been walking around with him in Galilee. That is where this is headed. The ascended reigning Christ, reigning in his people by the power of the Spirit of Christ to the glory of God. Do you believe Jesus or not? You see, by faith, you have real, personal, intimate, and eternal access to the person of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. You have that. There is nobody who is in a better position than you, or who has ever been in a better position than you. This is what God has said He is doing. This is the door that God has opened. This is as good as it gets until He consummates His kingdom. So for you or I to say, oh, you know, if only I would have been there then, is to reject the story. It's to reject what Christ Himself has said. See, here's what we have. United by faith to Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have a constant stream of unchanging grace, unchanging love, unchanging mercy. If I were to say this to you, that there's somebody who knows you and they know everything about you and they love you anyway, and by the way, that person never stops praying for you. I said, well, let me back up. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying they pray for you a whole bunch. They never ever, they know everything about you, they love you anyway, and they never ever stop praying for you. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them, to pray for them. Intimacy? How does it get any better than that? Personal? How does it get any better than that? Jonathan Edwards, the great American theologian, was commenting on that verse, and he says, "And from this you may learn the unalterableness of your happiness." In other words, if Jesus has received you, if you know His love, grace, and mercy, and He prays for you every minute of every day, happiness is there for you. Let us pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your powerful Word. I thank You for the Christ. I thank You for meeting us today, singing with us in this place today, coming to us through Your Word. And Lord, I pray every one of us would respond to the truth of Your Word. Oh Lord, some of us need to say today afresh and anew, oh Christ, You love me and You will never change. And some need to say for the first time, oh Christ, I trust You. I believe that You died for sinners, that I'm a sinner, and my only hope of salvation is in You. I believe that You were raised from the dead that I might be saved. You are my hope now and forever. one who embraces that promise will experience what will never change and the way to eternal happiness that begins here and now. May it be so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.